الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. The title of this lecture is The 25 Promises of Allah to the Believers. The idea for this lecture started when I was thinking about what to talk about. So an idea came to mind, and that's to go through the Quran and see what Allah has promised الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So I went through the ayat to see what did Allah promise المؤمنين or الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Whenever an ayah would mention الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا or المؤمنين, I would look at what would Allah promise them. So I didn't look at what Allah promised المتقين. I didn't look at what Allah promised الذاكرين. I just looked at what Allah promised الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, the believers. And I came up with 25 promises of Allah to the believers. So Allah has promised them a lot. And when Allah promises you something, you have to take it for granted. That if you are a believer, it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, then there's a problem with my belief, problem with Iman. Because Allah Azza wa Jal does not ever not fulfill His promise. وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah will never forsake His promise. So what does Allah promise the believers? We're starting from the end. It's now the beginning. That is Jannah. A lot of these promises relate to dunya, but this promise is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but give glad tidings to those who believe and work righteousness, that their portion is gardens, beneath which rivers flow. Every time they are fed with fruits therefrom, they say, why? This is what we were fed with before, for they are given things in similitude, and they have therein companions pure and holy, and they abide therein forever. The promise of Allah Azza wa Jal to the believers of giving them Jannah is sufficient. We don't need to talk about the other 24. Just this one is enough. Because when you think about what Jannah is about, compared to what dunya is, and compared to the other option, which is Jahannam, this is sufficient. In fact, this is more than what you asked for. And it's more than what you deserve. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that no one will enter Jannah except through the mercy of Allah. Our deeds do not qualify us for that. If it isn't for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, our deeds wouldn't even qualify us for a second in Jannah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will bring the believer who suffered the most in this dunya, and Allah Azza wa Jal will dip that believer in Jannah for one moment. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will ask him, O my servant, did you ever feel any suffering in your life? He'll say, oh Allah, I've never felt any suffering at all. So one moment in Jannah is sufficient to make him forget all of the pain and suffering of dunya. While on the other hand, Rasulullah ﷺ says Allah will bring the non-believer who had the best life in this world, and Allah Azza wa Jal will dip him in Jahannam for one moment and tell him, oh my servant, did you ever have any enjoyment in your life? He will say no. One moment in Jannah is sufficient to make him forget all of the enjoyment that he had in dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described Jannah to us. And after he gave an elaborate description, he said, فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. In Jannah are things an eye has never seen, an ear has never heard, and a mind can't even imagine. Think about Jannah as you like, as much as you want. You're not going to get there. It's way above all of your expectations. Watch the best Hollywood movie that talks about pleasure and enjoyment. It's not going to be a fraction of what you'll get in Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ saw it with his own eyes and he tried to describe it the best he could. But he knew very well that the Sahaba wouldn't be able to give it the right estimate, because if you didn't see it, you cannot imagine it. The language can't even express it. Our language will fail to express what is in Jannah. Even if you try to think about it, you can't comprehend it. For example, you can understand what a million means. You can understand what a billion means. But what does infinity mean? So when it says that you're going to live in Jannah forever, you're never going to die. There is no end. Your mind cannot understand that. Do you know the implications of that? Do you know the implications of living in Jannah forever? It means that if you see something that you like in Jannah, for example, you're walking next to this river and you see this bird on the river and you like it, you could just sit there and watch this bird for a million years. What's the problem? You don't have any appointments? You don't have any work? You're free to do whatever you want. You want to stay there and watch it for a million years? It's up to you. You read about the story of Musa in Quran and you want to know more about it, you can make an appointment with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and go spend a few years with him. It wouldn't be a few moments, sorry, I'm busy, I can't spend a lot of time with you. Spend as much time as you want. You can go and spend time with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As much time as you want. He's not in a hurry, neither are you. When you think about the territories that you'll be given in Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam talks about the lowest level in Jannah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the last man to enter Jannah, this lowest level, this poor man who is at the bottom of the ladder, he owns 10 times the earth and everything in it. So the lowest person in Jannah is at a level where the highest person in dunya that ever lived can't even dream of. Because there's nobody on the face of the earth who ever ruled over the whole earth. You know, all of these kings, when you look at their dominion, it's nothing. I mean, you own a piece of property in London, you think that you're the top of the world. You're willing to work your whole life and deal with interest and do haram just to own a small plot of land, when all what you have to do to get a mansion in Jannah is to pray 2 rak'ah of nafl a day. 12 rak'ah of nafl a day, 2 before Fajr, 4 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib and 2 after Isha, builds you a palace in Jannah. That's all. And Allah has promised the believers Jannah. Number 2.